I want to say it's a wonderful privilege to get to worship with you here. Very thankful for your wonderful hospitality and your kind, godly love toward us. Turn our attention toward a question that was asked of the disciples that asked our Lord. And they came to the Lord and said, "Lord, increase our faith." So if the Lord would be my helper, I would like to look at faith and the increasing of faith, just what it might involve in having our faith increased. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, and I'd like to look at the two epistles, just briefly pick through the two epistles to the Thessalonica, the church at Thessalonica. And then I would like to go to the Old Testament and for a few moments view an Old Testament character that has already been mentioned in the person of Gideon, and a story that is simply profound and profoundly simple, but it's so full of lessons for us. And the Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith." So if I'm understanding it correctly, that faith is going to require some work. Faith is, I kind of liken it to a muscle that the more it's exercised, the more it grows. Paul is commending the church at Thessalonica for their work of faith and their labor of love and their patience and hope. Now I want to turn over to the second chapter and makes the statement in verse 11, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom of glory. For this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." Notice the rest of the verse, "which effectually worketh in you that believe." So the only person that's going to be effectual in is the believer. Now, faith is not something that we can order over the internet. Faith is not something that we can get out of a catalog, out of a Sears catalog. As we all know, if we read the Word of God, faith is something that comes with regeneration. Faith is something that is the product of regeneration. Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Galatia, says the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And temperance. Against there is such there is no law. So we understand that the person that has faith has been regenerated. Again, first faith, as we'll go on to read in this second epistle, not all men have faith. It's talking to God's children, and I think sometimes that we complicate, as it were. Faith is simply listening, reading, listening what God says, his instruction, and doing it. Believing it and doing it. That may be an oversimplification, but if you understand what I'm saying, that God is a perfect father, and the Apostle Paul mentions that more than once in these two epistles, that as God is our Father, he's instructing us of just how that we can get the very richest life that there is to live. But it's only going to be effectual in the person who believes it. If I'm understanding this correctly, the Apostle Paul is exhorting And as we'll go on to notice, he's exhorting again and again this church in these two epistles. Now notice what he says in chapter 3. I think I'll start with verse 6. I have to go back up to verse 4. He says, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that you should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith," that is, the status of your faith, where you stand, "lest by any means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Now, I was raised on a cattle farm, and there's nothing more disheartening than, and of course you can't use the cattle mentality with sheep. You just can't. You can drive cattle, but you don't drive sheep. I promise you, you do not drive sheep. And you can lead them, but you cannot drive them. But how disheartening it was to work with some cattle and work with them and try to get them in the corral, and you just get almost there. You get that close to getting them just where you need them or where you want them, just to have them to break and run, and all of your labor was in vain. Apostle Paul is somewhat saying the same thing as we're going to read. He says, all of our labor that went into the church at Thessalonica, that we labored among you, that was believed among you, that is effectual in you that believe. The labor that we put in it, we had to know your status, so we sent Timotheus to know what your status was, lest our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. So faith is taking root. Faith is bearing fruit. And Paul is thanking God for it. But notice what he says in verse 8. "Now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." Nothing more heartbreaking, life-taking than to labor with God's people and then go away just to hear that they got in a squabble and they scattered to the nine winds. I've seen this happen many times in my life. How heart-rendering, how heartbreaking it is. Paul says, "We live if ye stand fast in the Lord." Now notice what he says. "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, and that we might see your face, and that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Somehow or another, we get the idea that when we're born again, suddenly we have a max of faith, as it is. Friends, it doesn't work that way. Faith has to grow. Faith has to be strengthened. Faith has to be tutored. It takes exhortation. It takes comforting. It takes the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, just hearing the gospel is not going to do it. We're going to have to try, as it were, what the gospel is teaching us. Going to have to step out on faith. Now, notice, I think that's the last verse I wanted to read out of that epistle. Notice what he says in chapter 3. Second epistle, chapter 1, verse 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." So faith, friends, can be increased. It can grow. How is that? Exhortation. Yes, sir. Prayer, exhortation, but most of all, by exercise. You see, I've enjoyed the story and read the story many times. Tried to speak on it a few times. Brought up last evening, and I just love the story of Gideon. But there's something that stood out to me the last time I read it that never stood out before. That if we'll notice in the life of Gideon, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems that as Gideon is threshing wheat, he's trying to hide the wheat from the enemies. That I get Gideon as a timid individual, kind of a timid, as it were, timid individual. Maybe that's not so, but he just comes across. But I can promise you this, friends, as you go over there and read the story, that Gideon is like a lot of God's children. He starts talking about what is impossible, what cannot be done, what we can't do. Kind of like Moses, when God came to Moses and says, "Moses, come here, son. I got a job for you. I want you to go down to Egypt and bring my children out of bondage." And Moses, the first thing began, "Well, you know, God, you know, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm really not capable. Get somebody else, as it were." Well, I got news for you, friends. Somebody else died, and it's our job. It's your job. It's my job to step forward when God calls and to answer the call. Gideon began to make excuses. "Well, I'm the poorest. I'm of a poor family. And by the way, on top of that, I'm the poorest of the poor of the family. You got to be mistaken, because it can't be me." And the angel of the Lord, speaking on behalf of God, of course, says that, "Gideon, you're going to deliver Israel as one man." Well, if you'll notice, friends, that Gideon goes from immediately from being weak in faith to being mighty in faith. The first thing he does is he steps out on the word of God. But notice that Gideon had to have some assurance along. Just like Abraham did when after some 15 years of a promise of a son, he still hadn't had a son. He has to go back and ask God, how about some assurance? How about some reassurance here? Abraham had already been walking by faith. He had already been walking by faith. But after all, at 75 years old, 80 years old, 85 years old, still hadn't had a son. 90 years old, you still hadn't had a son. You need a little confirmation. "Lord, did I hear you right? Did you really say that I'm going to have a son?" And in Genesis 15:6, and it says, "And Abraham, after having tried God," as it were, up until this point, I'm persuaded that Abraham, having tried God up until this point, God had proved himself in every instruction that he had given to Abraham. It states Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Gideon had to have some assurance. And if I'm understanding it correctly, it took four of them. You say, "Well, wait a minute. I remember the fleece." Yeah, but that's twice. But the first one was, he told the angels that if you are who you say you are, let me go fetch some food and let me serve you. That was the first one. The angel told him to put the food up on the rock, and fire came up out of the rock and consumed the victuals. Now that should have made a believer out of him, don't you think? I mean, after all, he's about to be sent into a war. He's about to be sent into war with three objects. He's about to be sent into war with three objects. After all, it states that the Midianites, they fill the valley as grasshoppers. Now, how would you feel if God came to you and says, you've got 32,000 men. I mean, compared to the number, you don't have a chance. And they didn't. To be honest with you, they didn't without God. But for God to say, you've got too many men, that's a different story. As we know the story, it's already been related here. As we know the story, that he sends 22,000 go home. Gideon's got to have some assurance. So he asked the Lord for some assurance. But here's the point I want out of this. That is, as Gideon just stepped out on what God told him to do, as Abraham, as Moses, as you or me step out on what God tells us to do. We've been instructed so far in this meeting wonderfully of just what it is for us to do. It's not going to do us any good if we don't do it. Gideon stepped out a step at a time. But here's the part I never realized out of that, never noticed out of that. Gideon went from being an individual that comes across to me, maybe I'm wrong, as timid, to defeating the Amalekites. But he, as he went through Succoth and chasing the two kings, and he asked for some food for his men because they were weak and they needed some sustenance, that they said, well, where are the two kings? Do you have them with you? No. He said, when I go get the victory and I come back through, I'll wear you out with briars and thorns. And that's what he did. You see how the faith of Gideon was increased as he stepped out and just proved what God had told him to do, step by step, from 32,000 to 300 men, to getting the victory, to driving the men of Succoth with briars and thorns. I just can't believe that it is that complicated to understand. It is. We are obligated to do it. Reminds me when Jesus turned the water to wine, and his mother said to those that standing by, whatsoever things he says do, do it. It's just that simple to understand. It's that simple to know. How about us? Are we desirous for our faith to grow? Well, of course we are. Sure we are. We're desirous for our faith to grow. But are we willing to do what it will take for our faith to grow? The Apostle Paul closed out the Second Thessalonians with this instruction, with this exhortation. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, and that it may be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, the apostle, in writing to this church, if you'll notice as you read the epistles, how he exhorted, and I believe that's what he's doing when he commends them, when he speaks about their glory, and how that the apostle himself gloried in them and prayed for them in their affliction. I believe he comforted them when he, very familiar passage of Scripture, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even those that sleep with Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with meet the Lord in the cloud, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that not comfort to your soul? I've tried to comfort God's people with these things. But I suppose we'll go back to the close of the first chapter. Look at both an exhortation and a comfort. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who delivered us, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Yes, friends, there's coming wrath. There's wrath to come. God has delivered us from that. That's comforting to me. I hope it is to you. The way I can grow in the understanding of that, the way I can see myself change as I look at the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him proclaimed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I hear him proclaimed, and that I can see myself as I behold as in a glass or a mirror, and I am changed into the same image from glory to glory. Friends, when you see yourself going from, as Gideon's army was, from knowing that they were no better than a dog, as they lapped water like a dog, that they went from being dogs to being victorious through faith and following the instruction of God. You see, we want to lay everything, that's God's work. Outside of regeneration, the new birth, and of course, much involved in that, I think that God expects something of us, just like a father. You see, when my father would start teaching me something, he would give me ample time. He would give me ample time to learn it. But there come a point in my life when he says, you're on your own, son. I expect of you thus and so. Our Heavenly Father is the same way, friends. Once we have ample opportunity, once we have ample teachings, once we have the instruction of God's Word, reminds me of the letter to the Hebrews when he says, you ought to be teachers of others, and you have need to one teach you again. Where are we in our scale of growth? Where are we in our strength of faith? Are we full of doubts and fears? Are we increasing? It was stated one of the discourses last evening, Brother Don, you never start too young or you never get too old. We can always learn. We can always learn. We can always grow. May God help us to grow in the faith and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Peter says, add to your faith. He didn't say add faith. He says, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. If these things be in you, and brotherly kindness, charity, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the word of in the knowledge of the word of God. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sin. Now, I don't know what some of this new fangled doctrine that teaches if you If you stray and go back to living after the flesh, evidence you never was a child of God. What do they do with that scripture? I'll never figure out. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and is forgotten. He is purged from his old sins. He's purged. If he forgets it, he's still purged. So let us add to. Just as simple as addition. Addition. That's what it is. Add to your faith virtue. Manliness. I mean, stand up, be a man. Step forward and say, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? And when we feel like we understand the instruction, then go do it. And we can grow and increase, and our faith can grow exceedingly. May God bless you with our prayer.